Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Recent cold weather and, of course, the recent storms as well. You might be thinking about how better equip your home for spells of bad weather and how can retrofitting reduce the impact of extreme weather on your home and, of course, your heating bills too. Here to share advice, we have Ciarán Byrne, who is Director of National Retrofit with the SEAI, and Brian McIntyre, who is Programme Manager with the SEAI. And you're very good to come back in and answer questions from listeners because we always get so many. And if you have any retrofitting questions, do continue to get them in, 51551. Or WhatsApp us 0870 32 32 32. Now, there's so many places around the country we know without the essentials today, like the electricity or the water. People have gotten in touch about generators this week. They can be a really expensive solution, though, can't they, when you've got a power cut?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Claire, and good morning to you and to your listeners. And first of all, I'd like to say our heart goes out to anybody stuck in one of those situations because it is extraordinarily difficult and we recognise that. So I guess the key for us is people have to recognise where people are at. So if you're out of power for a week or maybe longer on a regular basis, a generator probably is something you may wish to look at. And like all of these technologies, there's small and big. There's big ones and fancy ones and small ones. So a kind of a typical generator that you might get from your hardware store could cost anywhere between 500 and 700 or 800 euros, and that would typically allow you to power a couple of small devices, maybe your fridge, mobile phones, and charge maybe a fan heater. So they are for very small term situations. So many people, I know many people in the West Coast already have those because they maybe suffer a bit more in the weather. It's important to recognise though, I think the figure was somewhere around 765,000 homes were without power.
At one stage, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The previous record was about 385. So we actually had a once in a generational storm. So we had a real emergency event. So the vast majority of those homes will be back online pretty quick. So you're not really in the space of generators. There is a small 100,000 odd homes that are still out of power, and some of those have been out of power on a more regular basis. So they should probably look to other solutions.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brian, we have so many houses that have changed to heat pumps now. The power goes. They've no fireplace. You know, the only thing that has saved people is the open fire. That's a really difficult situation for people because they thought they were doing the right thing. Now there's a power cut.
Yeah, that is a problem with heat pumps, but it's a problem with oil boilers as well, because if you do have a gas or an oil boiler, they're reliant on electricity to work as well. So it's an issue with all the heating systems like that. With newer builds, because they're much insulated to a much higher degree, you'd be insulated from the bad effects of a cold spell anyway. So you'd retain the heat for a lot longer. So you would be able, it wouldn't tend to get as cold in
right.
your house.
Can a home battery power your home during a power cut? Is that an option for people?
Batteries tend to go hand in hand with the solar panels. So your typical installation would be, once there's a power outage, that's disconnected from the grid because there's an issue if you're generating from your panel and that's sent back out into the grid. It's a safety issue for people working the yeah. lines that they might get electrocuted. You can have a system it's called islanding, so you can set up separate to your other circuit. So it can run a circuit that's fed by your solar panels and your battery that's separate to the one that goes to the grid. So you could run it like that. So that right. system is possible to do.
I saw yesterday people were using the EV car to power their home.
Yeah.
Does that work?
The most modern EVs would have a vehicle to load functionality.
So you can reverse where the power is going,
yeah,
essentially,
exactly.
back
so
into
you
your house.
You could plug like an extension cord into your car and use it to run some appliances inside your house. Mm-hmm. Longer term, there'd be something called vehicle to grid, where you have that interoperation between the car and the grid and you can send it back out. But right. a lot of the newer cars, you could plug in
an extension. Be handy for people if, you know, they get a bit of charge out yeah. of it or get some of the devices charged. Now, we had a very cold snap, didn't we, before this most recent storm, and people mightn't think about their heating system until it gets extremely cold and then it's front of mind. Isn't that right?
That's exactly right, Claire. And I mean, notwithstanding the storm last week, we had a really cold period before then.
Yeah.
And mostly people think about their heating system about three times. Once is to press it on in October, November, and it works. Second time is if you're getting a full renovation done in the house as part of a renovation package. And the third time is when we had a period like 2 weeks ago where it's very, very cold. And we're kind of saying to people, there's a significant number of homes in the country that have boilers that are very, very inefficient, or what they're coming to end of life. So those people, they don't know it yet, but they're quite probably going to be in the category we call it, the stressed boiler replacement. So when you go up to press the button next October for the heating, the first start of September, whenever you put it on, it doesn't work. And then you're standing there going, what do I do? So if your boiler is 10, 12 years old, you know it's kind of coming to end of life. Now is a good time, or maybe as the weather warms up a little bit, think about maybe putting in a heat pump or upgrading and things like that. Mm-hmm. Because rather than waiting until next winter, because once the warmer weather comes, we forget about it all and we go off and do what we do till September, October, and but then it doesn't work.
You must be worried now that there's a whole group of people who are going, well, thank God I didn't get rid of the open fire and I'm not going to get rid of it now, because if I have a heat pump and the power's gone, I'm in right trouble.
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of people in that space, and I know a lot of people are thinking about putting in wood burning stove and things like that. But really what we're about is getting people on the pathway and the journey. So it's not about kind of preaching to people and telling them what you should or shouldn't do. We're trying to decarbonize homes and help people on that journey. So we are advocating a heat pump, but it's part of a wider house solution. So you're doing the insulation piece as well. So you're making the house much more resilient. Going back to the earlier point, unfortunately there are areas in the country that seem to have regular power outages, but for a large chunk of the country they don't, and they've got very stable electrical supplies. And I know our colleagues on the electrical side are looking at the resilience of the systems anyway to kind of counteract these kinds
okay.
of things.
Let's come to some listener questions now. So this listener says, we are currently retrofitting our house using every grant available except solar panels, which were not recommended given the position of our home and the long-term cost analysis. But at the end of this process, our home will rely solely on electricity. What advice do they have for people retrofitting their home in light of the current situation with electricity outages? Basically, are solar panels our only option? Well, they're not an option because they would be gone as well in the event of a power cut. Isn't that right, Brian?
Yeah. Well, like I said, you can have a setup that it kept separate from that grid. So you could, it's called like an island setup. So it would be an option. It depends on the long-term analysis. Like if it's situated in such a way that you're not generating a huge amount, they could look at maybe mounting it on the ground-mounted system that would face out-facing mm-hmm. and have an option like that as well.
Because some people, their roof just is not facing in the right direction. It's not going to work
exactly,
for them.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. This one, I'm considering installing solar panels on a residential house. I've got a number of quotes with a substantial difference in price. I understand the main reason for this is the price of the panels. For example, one company has quoted €450 per panel and another one €250, which is a difference of €2,000 for the 10 panels that they would need. Do you have any advice on where to get the information on the quality of the panels?
Well, all the panels installed under our grants have to meet certain requirements and standard specifications. So once it's been provided for under our grant scheme, we would typically be happy enough with the quality of that what's being installed. So we would say, like, to shop around a bit. There tends to be variability in what's offered from PV, and it could be that the panels are a different size, so the output from it one panel versus another might be different as well. It might be higher. So
you're saying once it's approved under SEII, you're best to go shopping for value then at that point?
Yep.
And you've no issue with that?
No.
Okay, that's good advice. Is underfloor heating covered under retrofit grants?
As part of the one-stop shop process, so we give a grant for the heat pump and the entire emitting system as well, so it's covered under that.
Mm. I'm looking at dry install underfloor heating where there's no need for screed or concrete. Are you aware of any systems that fit that profile?
Yeah, we would see systems like that. We have a panel looking at novel systems, but that's like a grant for underfloor heating would be like even grant for radiators. So it's the emitter as part of a heating system as such. So we are aware of these systems, but again, we need to look at the efficiency of them.
Okay, so this listener has a mid-terrace house and they want to insulate the attic, and they want to know, is it best to insulate both floors and rafters? They've heard that there's a risk of freezing pipes and tank if only the floor is insulated. And if only the rafters are insulated, water heat goes into the attic, and they're confused about it. So what do they do?
Just insulate the floor. You want to keep the heat below the ceiling where you use it.
Yeah.
So you just keep it below the floor. And like under our grant schemes, you have to insulate the pipes as well, just to prevent them from freezing. If you're insulating the rafters, you're just letting heat up into the attic where you're not using. So you'd only insulate between the rafters if you have a heated living space up in the attic.
Okay, so you do both floors.
No,
ground floor, just the middle one?
Just in the attic, the floor of the attic.
Right, okay. So we're not touching the floors below.
No.
Okay. Another one on attic insulation. Two-storey house in the country. It's 2007. The attic was never insulated. How do I go about it? So where do they start and what would it cost?
We would say go to the SAI website, look for the grants, and there's a list of registered contracts there. And
they can get a grant for that, can they?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it wasn't insulated from 2007, but... it's very straightforward. I'd contact a couple of suppliers in their area based on the registered contractors list that operate where they live and just get some quotes.
That's going to make a huge difference to them.
Massive difference, yeah.
You know, even that simple thing of attic insulation, and it's not too intrusive to do that, is it?
No.
Generally. Okay, let's go to another one. This is about an extension that is very cold. Loads of people have this problem. There's some insulation in the walls and there are Velux roof windows. Would it be possible or helpful to insulate under the roof? And is there a grant?
There is not specifically grants on that. What we encourage people to do is to have a look at them or get a professional to have a look at the construct, because a lot of extensions are made kind of with things like hollow blocks, so they wouldn't be as well insulated as the main home. But it's kind of probably better to look at a kind of a whole house solution, because if you have one part of the house, which is the extension, which is very cold and you insulate it very well, you'll end up kind of moving the problem around the place.
Mm-hmm. And there's no grant available for just looking at an extension then, is there?
No, we'd look at a whole house solution. So insulating walls, you look at the whole house.
Okay, so this is a two-parter now, this next one. Are there grants available for replacing window seals, handles, gears and locking mechanisms?
Not specifically for windows, no.
Okay, so no grants on for windows in general?
Well, no, there is a grant for windows and doors as part of the one-stop shop kind of whole house solution, but mm-hmm. you're looking at the kind of mechanics of the various windows and bits and pieces, and some of those, because I know myself, because I have some, they get a bit creaky over time and things like that, but there's not a specific grant available.
Right, well, this person says, I think I need to address air tightness, insulation and replacing my oil burner. They have inefficient underfloor heating currently. They say, should I start on my SEAI journey? But is there an SEAI journey for that person?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, absolutely there is. Because we've really ramped up our website and we're saying to everybody, first thing you do, get on the website and have a look. So we kind of guide you through that. And depending where they're starting on, we've said before, and I think it's a really good piece of advice, is get a BER rating. So they may have a BER rating for that house already, maybe out of date, and have a look, because the BER ratings have an advisory report and it'll tell you what's the next best thing to do on my journey. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you might think of doing something like that, but sometimes a measure, if you're not doing it in the right way or doing it in associated with something else, it might not have the best effect. So the journey we want people to get on, and it's really, that word is very, very important, because it's about getting there at some point, is look at the website, get a BER and a BER rating, and there is a range of providers on the website who will come and do the BER rating, and they'll give you
and you pay for that yourself. Just
pay for that
clear,
yourself,
yeah.
And there's a €50 grant towards that, and that's a great starting point for many people, because a fair chunk of your listeners know a bit about housing and know they want to be warmer, but they're not heating engineers and never will be, and nor do we want them to be. Mm-hmm. So get on the website; it's really well laid out there. So you assess where you're at, you add the insulation, which makes the fabric of the house warmer, and then you talk about the renewables, which is the solar.
So when you get your BER rating, you're not just getting a piece of paper with C or D or E on it. You're getting, these are where your problem areas are.
Yeah.
And that's where you start
exactly.
then.
Exactly.
That's where
yeah.
you start. Okay. Are air-to-air heat pumps a good option for retrofit in an older house?
They tend to be used where you have, say, storage heating, where you don't have like a pipework and radiators in the house. So we often see them with storage heaters, that instead of the expense of putting in radiators, pipework and all that from the boiler, people go air-to-air systems. They'd be fairly commonly used up in Scandinavia, for example, the mm-hmm. air-to-air systems. So yes, they're a perfectly viable solution for a lot of people.
And a grant, everyone wants to know, is there a grant for
yep,
that? Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Okay. Is spray foam insulation a good option for retrofitting an older house?
We do allow for spray foam on the grant systems. The spray foam insulation has to have a Irish Agrimon cert, which would typically be from the NSAI, and they would lay out the conditions. That cert would have the conditions into mm-hmm. which it's been installed.
But is it the best that they can do?
Well, all insulations can achieve the same end result. It just depends on the thickness of it. And some people go with spray foam because of the ease of putting it in. But you can achieve the same level of insulation whether you use spray foam or mineral wool or whatever.
Okay, that's if you're going inside the wall cavity, right?
No, that would be, say, usually up between the rafters.
Oh, that's for the yeah. rafters. But just when it comes to insulating the walls of the house, I think we had this conversation before, didn't we? That if you're going to do that, isn't the external wrap probably the best, going to give you the best result? Is that fair to say?
It would typically give you the best insulation value at the end of it, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's a big job though. Yeah.
It is a big job, but if you do have a cavity wall, it would be, it's always, you can get a very good level of insulation by pumping insulation to the cavities as well.
Right, okay, so you're going to get an improvement.
Yeah, definitely. Like it's slightly
inside.
Better to get external insulation.
Okay, I'm coming close to the end. We might try and squeeze another one. So a C3 rating on an old house, interested in getting the grant for windows and doors with the home energy upgrade scheme, but I have to get the house up to a B2. How do they do that? Mm.
So at a C3 rated house, Claire, they'll have no problem, I don't think, getting it up to a B2 rated home. But there's two conditions for the one-stop shop. You must get it to a B2 and you must also achieve 100 kilowatt hour uplift on the home. Likely how they're going to do that to achieve the energy uplift is by putting in a heat pump as well. So on the full house solution, which is the one-stop shop solution, mm-hmm. Windows and doors are a grant available there, but you have to do all the other bits as well. So you can't
there.
Just pick that one grant.
Okay, listen, I'm going to be going into Louise Duffy's time, so we better leave it there. SEAI, that's the website you need to go to. Brian and Ciarán, thank you so much for coming in and taking all of those questions.